So membership 101 is this thing, and it's not a whooping, it's not a beating, it's an affirmation of this is what the Bible says. And we're going to talk about those universal things that God asks of every Christian. Number one, I'll just give you a quick preview. Number one, if you belong to a church, you ought to be born again. You ought to be a Christian to belong to the house of God. Well, how do you become a Christian? How do you identify? How do you tell the world that you're a Christian? We're going to talk about that. God wants everyone to be saved. In fact, God says he hasn't given up on you. He hasn't quit. God hasn't come back because he loves you so much. He's given you more time to repent. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be saved. Secondly, he wants us to grow spiritually. Paul told the Ephesians, you should no longer be little children, but you should grow up into the knowledge of Christ. He wants us to spiritually grow. We should not be at the same level we were at a year ago in our Bible knowledge, in our prayer life, in our witnessing, in our joy in Jesus. We shouldn't be stuck. Let's grow. Third, he wants us to serve. He's given us a gift and an ability. He's given us spiritual gifts. And we in the body, we're to take all those together and we're to serve one another. This is the one another's of the scripture. We're to love one another. We're to sacrifice for one another. We're to support one another. We're to pray for one another. And it goes on and on and on. Do that. We're to share our faith. Your story isn't my story. My story isn't your story, but if your story is connected to God's story, you've got something to share. And finally, we're stewards. And you see, I'm doing my little mnemonic device here. Salvation is the thumb, spiritual growth, service, sharing is the ring finger, you know, the little weak guy. None of us are great at sharing, but part of the hand, right? And then the pinky that holds it all together is stewardship. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. So that's what we're going to talk about between now and Bible school. We're going to spend enough time to say there's some basics. And here's what we're going to do different. You're going to get a quiz at the end. See, I told you I'm trying to get fired. It's working. Let me ask you this. If you belong to an organization, don't you think you ought to know what that organization stands for? And why it matters? And my quizzes, you know, they're like really hard. Is this a true statement or a false statement? If I said Jesus loves you, could you do a true or false? I hope so. No one has asked anybody anything, but here's the deal. We have so many names on our church roll, and so few who gather in his name. Well, I'm proud of you. I'm not picking on the folks who come. I want to affirm that you know what we're about and why that matters so much. And we have that wonderful, cute little computer program that we pay for. And all I want to do is when you take those little quizzes and it all comes together and you go, man, this is what our church is about. I'm just going to put a little check on your record and our wonderful computer that says, hey, they get it. Yay. Now, if you don't want to do that, I'm not going to make you do it, but you don't get a check. Okay. You're not doing it for the check. We're doing this to honor the Lord. We're doing this to bring unity and group effort. Now, the other thing we are going to do, though, is we're going to start saving all of that video stuff, and we're going to turn that into a module of training that we can have out and available. And when God brings somebody else down this aisle and they say, I want to join this church, we're going to ask them to look at those videos too and say, hey, you're on board with what the rest of us know. Now, is that going to last forever? Is that going to turn into a great big thing? Probably not. But don't we want every new member of our faith family to know what it means to belong to our faith family? That's not asking much. Not much at all. So very quickly, today, to kind of set the stage, I know this sounds cruel, but we're going to preach through the whole Bible very quickly, right? I'm going to cherry pick some verses, and I'm going to say, before we go away today, this is the plan of God. This is the message of this book. In Genesis, God created us in His image. And by the way, male and female, He created them. But we sinned against God, and we still are. But God loved us so much, and you're reading Genesis there, since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out and take from the tree of life, eat that fruit, and live forever. God would not let us be eternally separated from Him. And so He pushed man out of the garden, whatever it was at the beginning, however wonderful it was, we don't know that anymore. Because He loved us so much, He would not allow us to remain eternally broken. And so God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. And there's where we are today. There's the human condition. You read further, Moses comes, the law comes. I go to the book of Ezekiel 18. And God is talking to the nation of Israel, who he called out, and he's trying to make this covenant work. He's faithful. We're not. But listen to these words. Do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked? This is the declaration of the Lord God. Instead, don't I take pleasure when he turns from his wicked ways and lives? Why do we think God is out to get us? God is out to bless us. He wants to give us life. When a righteous person turns from his righteousness and acts unjustly, committing the very same detestable acts that the wicked do, should he live? The answer is no. None of the righteous acts that he did will be remembered. He will die because of the treachery he has engaged in and the sin he's committed. Have you ever seen a good man go bad? How many innocent people are in prison today because they've never done anything wrong in their own mind? But if you measure their heart and their life against the standard of American law, they've been legally declared guilty. But we in the church, we in God's house, we in God's family, we walk around and we do the very same things that evil people do. And then we say, but God loves us and I'm special. And doesn't that count? And God looks at us and he says, look, it's about what you do. And what you do is a reflection of what's in your heart. So if you're doing wrong, what's that say about your heart? You say, the Lord's way isn't fair. Oh, yeah? Listen, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair? I think it's your ways that are unfair. When a righteous person turns from his righteousness and acts unjustly, ladies and gentlemen, he's no longer righteous. He will die for this. He will die because of the injustice he committed. Next slide. But if a wicked person turns from the wickedness he committed and does what is just and right, he will preserve his life. He will certainly live because he thought it over and turned from all the transgressions he had committed. That is the definition of repentance. Think it over. Change your mind. Change your ways. The house of Israel says, oh, God's not fair. Is it my ways unfair? No, it's your ways that are unfair. And here's the end. Therefore, house of Israel, I will judge each one of you according to his ways. This is the declaration of the Lord. Repent and turn from all your rebellious acts so they will not become a sinful stumbling block to you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came. How do we get a new heart? How do we get a new spirit? How do we make that happen? We don't know how. And then we turn to the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I love this translation. God loved the world like this. In this way, he gave his only son that everyone who believes in him, remember Thomas? Gross, nitty-gritty, broken flesh, horrible, misunderstanding. But Thomas fell on his knees and said, "My Lord and my God, I believe." God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then Paul begins to help us understand salvation. He says, just like Adam came and brought sin into the world by his act, so God sent Jesus Christ, really the next Adam, who by his one righteous deed and our obedience to that, by his obedience to the Father and our commitment to him, he makes us righteous. Go ahead to the next slide there, I won't do. The law came to multiply. Where sin multiplied, I don't care how bad, how gross, how terrible, how awful, and even all the law that just says you can't do it. Grace multiplied even more. As sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in, here it is, eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right, God made a way. How do we make that real in our lives? Next verses, Romans chapter 10. This is the message that we proclaim. Go to the next one if you would. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. What did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. What is the confession of faith? Jesus Christ is Lord. He owns me. I yield to him. If you say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Those are the essential elements. That's repentance and faith made possible by God's grace. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness. We confess with our mouth, resulting in salvation. The scripture says, if you believe on him, you will not be put to shame. And the next verse talks about it is not Greek, not Jew, not white, not black, not rich, not poor, not anything. It's about who knows Jesus Christ as Lord. And the promise is, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. You weren't smart, you weren't good looking, you weren't wise. God chose to reveal himself to you, and in grace he called you to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, and that's what we need to be doing right now. That's what Bible school is. That's what witnessing is. That's what worship together is. These are the good works he has called us to. Titus, same thing. The grace of God brought us salvation for all people, teaching us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and live. Isn't this unusual how weird that is? We're to live sensible, reasonable, godly lives. Man, that's all over my evening news. How about yours? We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus. And we end in the book of Revelation where Jesus himself says this. I love it. Look, pay attention. I'm talking to you. Look, I'm coming soon. And my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I'm the beginning and I'm the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Next slide there. Blessed are those who wash their robes. That's that picture of being made righteous in Christ. So that they may have the right to the tree of life. Remember where we started in Genesis? God didn't want us to eat out of the tree of life because we were broken. But we who by faith have come to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, have confessed him as Savior and Lord, and we're living for him and walking with him, he wants us to eat of the tree of life and live with him forever. Ladies and gentlemen, what kind of hope is that? I've sent my angel to attest these things. I'm the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star. And then the Bible closes with this beautiful invitation. The Holy Spirit of God says, come. Who's the bride? The church. The bride that Jesus died for, the bride that he washed and cleansed, the bride that in self-giving love he's going to honor and glorify. The bride says, come. What should be the message of this church? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Take that dirty rag you're wearing and put on a new robe of righteousness. Take that black and filthy heart that you've allowed to get corrupted by all the stuff around you. Get that pollution in the world around you. Come. Just as you are. Come. Let anyone who hears say come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life. Did Jesus only give you enough salvation to get your name on the church roll? No. Whatever you're hungering and thirsting for, whatever you're afraid of, whatever you're dealing with today, the Holy Spirit of God has enough power and ability to align it with his plan and purpose. All things aren't good. Sin is real. The wages of sin is death. And you may not even be the sinner, but sin splatters. Come. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we got a good message to share or what? All right.